I'm Sarah Vioso, and this is Surviving Fear. I have stage 4 brain cancer, but I have chosen faith, hope, and laughter to navigate my difficult diagnosis. This is my story and the lessons I've learned by surrendering my struggle to God. Season 2, Episode 8, Holiday Joy. Well, if you're listening to this right now and you're up to speed with all of the other episodes, you will notice that this one is probably going to be put up late and not on schedule because I have been sick and you probably can hear it. This is the first day I've actually been able to talk semi-clearly. You can still hear I'm stuffy with, which, believe it or not, a cold. Those still exist. I'm COVID negative. Yes, I have a cold. And the first words that popped into my mouth were, it's a humdinger one. There's my Texas roots coming out flying in their full colors. But yeah, it has set me back. Just the world of coughing has, my abs are awesome right now. They are rock solid from the coughing fits, but that's okay. We're working on it. But if this gets put out late, my apologies to you guys because of my illness, and but glad to be back. And, you know, throughout this time, one of my things, this is my, you know, it's the most wonderful time of the year. I was just listening to that song. It's Christmas time and the holidays. And, you know, I just had a phenomenal Thanksgiving week with my family and, you know, my mom and dad and my brother and his amazing family, and just lots of laughter, lots of joy, and lots of food I should not be eating, as we all do. And now I'm moving on, and we got home, and like my first thing I want to do is my tree is up and the inside's decorated. My sweet husband, who I have lovingly dubbed Clark Griswold, because our house is decorated from top to bottom. He's been working on it for a few days because the boys have been in school. So they, you know, and their favorite thing to do is crawl on the roof. So why not be able to crawl on our nice steep roof, hang Christmas lights? But my husband, who loves me so much and does love the Christmas season, is out there, you know, making our house look phenomenal. We blink to music. We have an old school music box. We don't have it done like you see on these like Christmas, is it Christmas decorating wars or something along that lines. Actually, there was a house in my town that just was on that, the Great Christmas Battle or whatever. And these people have off the hook houses. I mean, they are off the hook with decorations. They're put to music. Maybe they have like acreages. In fact, my parents have a house by their where they live, that they have acres and acres of land, and it is like Christmas Wonderland. You drive through, the lake has swans swimming, like lit up swans, and not actual swans are lit up. You know, obviously they're fake swans. Anyway, there's no animal cruelty going on, even though that just the thought of that kind of makes me laugh, thinking of swans that have like headlights and are lit up with Christmas, but that would be animal cruelty. I'm just, you know, anyway, sorry, I digress. But you know, Christmas is celebrated so hardcore now. And I love Christmas. I'm just so nostalgic at Christmas because I was so blessed to have a family that is so very tight-knit. And a lot of the times for my Christmases, growing up, because we moved away from our family. Like I'm from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. That's where I was born. I only spent 5 years in that area, and then I moved to Texas. But my parents, you know, they grew up with their whole family around them. And my mom and dad are from the same hometown, Steubenville, Ohio. It's Dean Martin. That's his claim to fame. Dean Martin was born there. He was in the Boy Scouts with my grandfather, my papap. You know, there's all these amazing black and white photos of their Christmases where you can see in the background. You know, I just keep thinking of my Aunt Marian. My Aunt Marian is my dad's sister, and I look just like her. I'm like, I'm the spitting image of my Aunt Marian. Like, it's so funny because I look more like my Aunt Marian than I do anybody. Like, I look more like I should be her daughter than my mom should be my mother. Now, if you see me and my mom together, then you'll know that I, without a doubt, I am her daughter. But I look exactly like her. And this picture that just keeps popping into my head is of they're under the tree, and there's my Aunt Mary and my dad, and my Uncle Mike, and they're all, they've got their arms around each other and they're singing Christmas carols. And my Aunt Marian has really dirty knees. And it just makes me laugh because it's how I grew up. I mean, I always was, you know, she's surrounded with three brothers, or at the time, I don't think Uncle Rick wasn't alive yet. So she's surrounded with brothers, and she had boy cousins, well, boy and girl cousins, but it just makes me laugh because all the boys were dressed in that, you know, 1950s, in that, you know, that the Western, they've got their chaps and their, you know, their pistols and cowboy hats on, because it was all, you know, cowboys and Indians kind of thing back in those days when it was not, you know, considered, when it was, you know, still politically correct to be in that way. Now it is not, but it's just those memories, like looking at those black and white memories, looking at, you know, thinking about how I was raised when we moved away, it was just the four of us for Christmas. And, you know, that's where a lot of our friends that we consider family, those relationships were formed, because we just had us. Because, you know, it's super expensive to fly at Christmas and Thanksgiving to go back east. So we would stay home and go visit in the summer and see our family then. So I have so many amazing Christmas memories of just the four of us. And I also have many memories of not celebrating Christmas on Christmas because my dad had to work. Dad worked in the powerhouse at the local steel mill, and, you know, it's cold weather, bad things happen, and Dad would have to go in no matter what day it is because of, you got to keep the plant up and running. So we learned at a young age that, you know, Christmas is when we're together. It doesn't have to be on Christmas Day. That, who knows when that was actually deemed. December 25th is going to be Christmas, and I'm sure I could sit here and research why that came to be, when it came to be. Some people said Christmas, like Christ was actually born in April. I have not done any theological studies to know when Christ was actually born. I just know he's here. I know he was born. I know the stories. I know what we've read in the Bible about his birth. And all I know is the significance. You know, the only thing that's important about that is the significance of it. And, you know, I recognize a few things when I was thinking about this, is that Christmas has kind of spiraled away from Christ, the focus of Christmas, when you look at our world, at least in the United States. I can't speak for being elsewhere, but at least in the United States, you know, it's all about your holiday shopping and Black Friday, which, hey, I'm not going to, Black Friday, normally, I wasn't in town, but normally it's my happy day because I just love to shop. I think it's fun to see everybody out. Everybody's out, like at 2 in the morning, we're out and we've got, the Christmas lights are up and people are smiling and we're all spending way too much money. And, but it's just the feel of it, the feel of people being out and are joyous and are doing this ridiculous shopping at a very ungodly hour. But the ambiance of it, like where by our house, there's this place called the Irvine Spectrum, and there's people ice skating. They set up an, yes, I know, an ice skating rink in California, actually in Southern California, but they have an ice rink under a giant Christmas tree. And there's all this amazing holiday music playing. And I say holiday music because some of it isn't Christmas music, but I consider it all Christmas music. But it's just joyous and it fills you. It just makes me happy. So my friend Lolita and I would do that every year. We off of it the last 2 years because of COVID and because of me being out of town. Anyway, Christmas has gotten a little away from the Christ in Christmas. Like nothing, I would say, I don't want to say chaps my hide. There you go, back to my Texas. But nothing just bothers me more than instead of writing Christmas, people put the X where Christ is and write X-mas. It drives me nuts. It's like the absolute, it's like you're literally removing Christ from Christmas. And that's where this all started. And I would, you know, it it has just spiraled out of control, or even snowballed out of control of what this season's all about. And I've always seen, you know, he's the reason for the season, which is so true. And, you know, it's not, instead of it being about celebrating the birth of Christ, it's sometimes gets switched to what's the latest toy that your kid has to have. People busting through the doors at Walmart or Best Buy having to get, you know, to get that one thing for your kid or for your whoever. You have to have it because the price is so good. Hey, and I'm just as guilty as that. I wait up early in the morning to get poinsettias to decorate my house. I do. I'm at Home Depot with Lolita at, we get there, let's see, they open at 6. I think we get there like at 5:15. And we go through there. We have our mission. We go get our poinsettias because they're a dollar each. And we get our limit. We load up our car and then we go shopping. And it's fun and we enjoy it and it's a crack up. But you also see the best of humanity and the worst of humanity in those moments. And that's okay. But sometimes, you know, we lose that focus. And I think, you know, one of my favorite Christmas movies, I mean, other than the obvious, I mean, I love Christmas Story. I love Christmas Vacation. I mean, we can quote those movies backwards, forwards, upside down. But honestly, one of my very favorites is the original How the Grinch Stole Christmas. And it's funny because throughout, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm teary-eyed over this, but not just throughout Christmas, but throughout like these last 19 months that I've been healing and dealing with this diagnosis of brain cancer, I keep going back to that last scene, one of the last scenes. And it's a 30-minute, do you know it's like 23 minutes? It's 23, I think it's that way. I think it's that short. It's like, because it's always shows in a half hour. And I remember as a kid, like we stopped everything to be able to watch How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Now, the one that they did with Jim Carrey, which is actually quite hilarious, is good. But I like the cartoon one, the very original one that came from a Dr. Seuss book about the Grinch, whose heart was three sizes too small. And it's the scene at the end when the Grinch had gone through and taken everything from the Who's in Whoville. He used a special vacuum cleaner and sucked up all the ornaments off the trees and took all the toys. And I wish I could really quote all of the crazy, you know, crazy names that Dr. Seuss came up with for this. I think it's literary genius, but for his book. And the end is when all the Who's, the from down in Whoville, the tall and the small, still come down and sing, even though everything had been taken. Their food, their toys, their gifts, their decorations, everything. And I just can remember that, you know, it's so vivid in my mind. Like as I'm talking about it, I see that cartoon in my head and how they came down and still surrounded the tree and held hands and sang that da hu or a da, you know, that song. I'm not even trying to do it with my cold. You can hear it. And they surround the tree and they hold, or what would have been the tree, because the tree got stolen, the Grinch took it. And they still held hands in a circle and sang, swaying back and forth, but in sang in gratefulness, in joy, because it was Christmas. And I think we've lost that a little bit. I think we get focused on, oh my gosh, well, you know, you need to do, get this, and he wants this and he wants that. And yeah, we'll need to take out a loan or we'll need to, you know, put it on layaway or whatever, but we'll just put it on the credit card and pay off the interest. And when you strip it all down, it has nothing to do with that. You know, it comes back to the reason why we do gifts, remember, and I know you all know this, is because the gifts the king, the three kings brought Christ when he was born. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Three gifts. A friend of mine does that with her kids, and I think it's so genius that at Christmas they get three gifts. Because it ties to that. It's a remembrance of that. It's an honor of that. That when we think of Christmas, we take, you know, I mean, it's a $1 billion industry. And trust me, I dress up. I embrace it to its fullness, but sometimes I get so caught up in that I lose the full meaning. I mean, it's hard for me to listen to Christmas carols and not cry, especially the Christmas song. Oh, it's wonderful. But we just strip it all down to its, I want to say nuts and bolts, but what it's all about, and really think about and focus on what happened that night, whatever time of the year it was. It actually was. For us, we call it December, and I kind of love it in here because it's cozy, and you think about what that would have been like on a peaceful night in a stable. And Mary put her baby in a feed trough for animals because that's all they had. Christmas is the celebration that the Savior has come. And I think sometimes we miss that. Like, I remember watching for the very first time when I watched How the Grinch Stole Christmas, I'm like, how can you still celebrate? And I still, the one, like, very vivid picture is when they're in the circle and the Grinch takes the sled back down the hill and they kind of have a top view of what's going on that pulls back and you see the top view and the people open up like a gate and the Grinch slides right in on the sled with all the stuff he stole right to the middle of the circle. But I just laugh because the people open up literally like they're a gate. But the Who's figured it out. They figured it out. That it doesn't matter if you have nothing, no gifts, no decorations, no tree, and maybe you're by yourself. And that's tough. I think, you know, Christmas to me is such a magical time of year, but it's also a very difficult time of year. It's difficult for a lot of people. A lot of people are alone. I always think of our military servicemen and women who aren't able to be home because they're protecting us and fighting for causes that are greater than us and helping those that can't help themselves. They don't have the means. I think of those who have recently lost somebody. I don't want to say lost, but recently had someone cross over. Or not even recently. Maybe it was a long time ago and it still hurts. I'm sitting here tearing up. I'm thinking of my grandmas who both passed years ago. And they're just such special women and make Christmas so special. And how much, like, I am, unfortunately, my one grandfather died when I was young. And I don't have many Christmas memories from him. But my mom's grandfather, my papa, oh, he was so good at Christmas. Funny stories of him dressing up as Santa and scaring his daughters. But he loved it. And like one of my most cherished things that I have is when my grandma died. We were going through her things and going through the house that they'd lived in for years and years and years. And I found her nativity. Just pieces of it. I wish I had the whole thing, but I just found pieces of it. And it's one of my most cherished things. Because here it is. This most innocent child. He lived his entire life in poverty, owning nothing, homeless. Meek. Dependent on others for everything. And that's who saves us. Not a king wearing, well, it is a king, the king. But not one that's wearing a crown and beautiful robes and has all kinds of gold and has all kinds of riches. The meek of the meek. The poor of the poor. And that's what Christmas is about. Is this man who saves us and came into this world in a very uncertain way, in a very poor way. He wasn't born in a hospital. He wasn't born in a palace. He was born in a barn. And think about that and focus on that when you celebrate Christmas. And I don't say don't celebrate. Good grief. Lord knows I'm going to be celebrating. I love Christmas with food and joy. And that's what it's about. It's about being with whoever you can be. And if you don't have a place to go, you'll have a place. There is someone out there that would love to take you in. And if you are alone, go out to eat by yourself, and I guarantee you're going to make a friend. I guarantee you will make a friend. God blessed us with his son. He blessed us with his beautiful son. And I just don't want you to forget and lose sight of what Christmas is about. And you can celebrate Christmas whenever you need to celebrate it, if you can't do it on Christmas Day or Christmas Eve. And that's okay. And that's wonderful. It's all about the celebration that the Savior has come and that we have a place waiting for us so much greater than the one that we're in right now, if you can even imagine it. Thank you for listening. I'm Sarah Vioso, and I will see you at the next episode of Surviving Fear. And if you happen to be listening to this around Christmas time, have a very Merry Christmas.
Surviving Fear is made possible by the efforts of our executive producer, JT Henderson, writer and director, Sarah Vioso, producer and editor, Kristen Walker, artistic creator, Laura Ritchie, graphic editor, Linda Lee, and musical artist and composer, Adam Vioso.